So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians 3, and we'll begin with verse 22. Colossians 3, verse 22 through chapter 4 and verse 1. That's our section that we'll read today. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. As to our background note for today, we need to say something about this matter of slavery. In both verse 22 as well as verse 1 of chapter 4, you have this word servants or slaves. These would be first century slaves. During the first century, when Colossians was written, the average household would have slaves. But we believe slavery is wrong. Why doesn't the Bible say slaves were now free or they should run away? Or why doesn't the Bible say that the Christian masters should release their slaves? Well, if you're taking notes now, I'm going to give you 5 points here, so you're going to have to write quickly. The New Testament approach to slavery, which was part of the social structure of the first century Roman Empire, is as follows. Point number one, slavery is not prohibited in the New Testament, but it's not promoted either. Point two, Christian slaves were not to revolt, but Christian masters, on the other hand, were not prevented from releasing their slaves. In fact, it's hard to read Philemon and not see that Paul is asking Philemon to release Onesimus, his runaway slave. He's not demanding it, but it's hard to miss the point that he's suggesting it. Point three, while the institution of slavery was not condemned, is not condemned in the New Testament, the abuses of it are strongly condemned. Look at chapter 4, verse 1 here. Slaves were not to be considered as just property, but they are people. They're to be treated as such. Point 4. If Christian masters followed the directions of the New Testament, in reference to their slaves, in many ways, the master-slave relationship was better than the employer-employee relationship today. After all, the slave and his family would be provided for, cared for, taken care of. Point number five, it was the outworking of the Christian principles of the New Testament that finally led to the abolition of slavery in the Roman Empire and, of course, in our own country as well. So the New Testament approach then to the problem of slavery is not revolution, overthrow the Roman Empire, but a gradual outworking of Christian principles, starting in the Christian home. All right, now what about a doctrinal point from this portion of Scripture? Once again, our doctrinal point today is the same as last session. We must submit to authority structures. If we would make Christ supreme and all-sufficient in our lives, remember that's the great theme of Colossians, we must submit to authority structures. Now we say God's authority structures. We must submit to God's authority structures. Why God's authority structures? Because all authority ultimately finds its source in God. According to Romans 13, verse 1. All authority ultimately finds its source in God. Even when that authority is misused or abused or at times even directed against God himself, it's only because God has allowed it. Even Satan's limited and temporary authority derives from God. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. All authority finds its source in God. Now, there's more we could say here. Let's move on. God has chosen to channel his authority down to us in four different lines or structures: the home, the church, the state, and the area of labor. Colossians 3 deals with two of these areas, the home and the area of labor. In our last session, we were dealing with the home in verses 18 through 21. Now we have the area of labor here, verse 22 through the first verse of chapter 4. Now the slave-master relationship was not exactly the same as an employer-employee relationship, but it was the area of labor, and therefore it can be greatly applied to the employer-employee relationship today. In verse 22, you see that servants or slaves were to obey their masters in all things according to the flesh. Now, what's the idea there, according to the flesh? That is, in this line of authority. Not necessarily, for example, in the area of the church, but in the home, in this setup, this line of authority, the area of labor, they were to obey. For example, a Christian slave in the church at Colossae might have been an elder or church leader, whereas the master may not have been. In that area, that structure of authority, you would actually have the master subordinate to the Christian slave. But not so in the household. In the area of labor, the Christian slave was to submit to the Christian master. That's what it means there, according to the flesh. Now, what does it mean here? Not with eye service as men pleasers, not with eye service or external service. The idea there is not just when the master is watching. Let me ask you, do you only do a good job when your boss is watching? And at other times you waste company time or whatever? That's not right. In verses 23 and 24, it would seem from what is said here that the slave is actually serving Christ when he's submitting to his master, even though that master may not be a Christian. Notice what it says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. How can it say that if this Christian slave is serving a non-Christian master? Well, it's because of this authority structure, because all lines of authority come down from God. As we submit in these lines of authority properly, we are serving the Lord. Now, once again, it's assumed here that the master has not asked the slave to do something that's wrong, such as lie or commit fornication. Remember how Joseph did the right thing when he was a slave, Genesis chapter 39. Even though he was subordinate to Potiphar and his wife, he did not submit to her temptation of seduction. No, he did the right thing. You always obey the higher authority, Acts 5:29. So if the phone rings and your boss says, "I'm not here, tell him I'm out of town," you don't lie. You do the right thing. Now, you don't have to say, "Hey, my boss is here. He just told me to lie," or something like that. You don't have to do that. You could say he or she, as the case may be, is not available. Now, there's bound to be some cases where you may lose your job and so forth. But you always do the right thing. But as long as that authority is telling you not to do something wrong, you do submit. The word inheritance that's used here, why is inheritance used here in verse 24, the reward of the inheritance? Well, slaves, of course, would not get any earthly inheritance, but they would in heaven if they properly submitted to these authority structures. And we will too. You may not be programmed for an earthly inheritance, but if you submit properly to the authority structures that God has set up, you will receive a reward, an inheritance. Now in verse 25, there's a warning given here. But he who does wrong, that is, slaves who would do wrong, will be repaid for the wrong which he has done. And there is no partiality. If Christian slaves were to steal or cheat, they could expect consequences, not only on this earth, but ultimately at the judgment seat of Christ. And the same applies to us in this area of labor. If we cheat or steal or loaf or do a half-hearted job or permanently borrow, quote unquote, tools or things from the office, that ring a bell, permanently borrow, you know, this is wrong, we can expect to be judged. If not here, certainly at the judgment seat of Christ. It says without partiality. God does not play favorites. Without partiality. You can't say at the judgment seat of Christ, but I was only a slave. Or I was only a technician. Or I was only on summer staff at this camp and I didn't get paid much. No, no partiality. All right? So we are to do the right thing in these authority structures. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, you have the masters addressed. And they are to give their slaves what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. As the boss in this authority structure of labor, they were to be just, the masters were to be just and fair with their slaves. And maybe you'll find yourself in this area too. In fact, many of you here are in that area. You're the boss. You have people under you. You have people working for you. Be just and fair. That's the point here. Be just and fair. In pay, in workload, in privileges, all of those things. Be just and fair. Remember, you too have a master. And the idea here is, because the Lord is our master, we will give an account as well as he's the great model to follow. Now, the practical application that I'd like you to write down for today is this. Let's not play favorites. All right? Let's not play favorites. God does not play favorites, verse 25. No partiality. And we're to follow his example. And this applies to all four lines of authority. Somewhere along the line, you're bound to find yourself having some authority over people in one or more of those lines. As a parent, as a church leader or ministry director or camp counselor, you'll actually have people under you. As a boss somewhere in a company or over the waterfront at a camp, maybe even some of you as government officials. In any case, don't play favorites. Don't play favorites. Be fair and just. Don't play favorites with your kids. Don't play favorites with your employees. Don't play favorites with the people under you. Be just and fair. That's the road we need to follow. We need to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. He is our great master, and he's fair and just. So when it comes to in any of these lines, whether it comes to pay, to workload, to time off, to privileges, to penalties, be just and fair. Let's not play favorites.